a logo appears in bold slanting letters over a green planet in space. Turner. Now a black and white logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presents William Powell and Myrna Loy in The Thin Man, with Maureen O'Sullivan, Nat Pendleton, and Minna Gombo. Directed by W.S. Van Dyke. Produced by Hunt Stromberg. Screenplay by Albert Haskett and Francis Goodrich. Novel by Dashiell Hammett. Musical score by Dr. William Axt. Recording director, Douglas Shearer. Art director, Cedric Gibbons. Wardrobe by Dolly Tree. Photographed by James Wong Howe, ASC. Film editor, Robert J. Kern. A Cosmopolitan production, Western Electric Sound System. Now a man's shadow stretches up a wall. Shadows of a giant cog and chains loom beside him. Holding a box topped with wires and glass insulators, a thin, older man steps close to a generator, then back again. Behind him, a door opens, and a man wearing an apron and cap steps in.
Your daughter's here, Mr. Wynand.
Mr. Wynand frowns at the smoking generator.
Mr. Wynand! Mr. Wynand!
He drops the box.
Haven't you got any more sense than to shout at me like that?
Well, I'm sorry, but...
2 weeks' work gone for nothing.
But I just wanted to tell you...
I don't care what you wanted to tell me. Get your things. Get out. You're through. Get out.
Yes, I'm going.
Get out.
I'm going.
Good thing I'm going away. No peace. No quiet. Everybody interrupting me.
Can I come in? Did you tell him?
I didn't get a chance.
A young woman breezes in.
Dad!
Now, why didn't somebody tell me you were here?
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt your work, darling. I'll look at you. But this really is important.
How are you?
What, another young man?
It's the same one.
It's been the same one for 3 months.
Oh, forgive me, how are you?
How do you do?
Now, take a good look at him, Dad. Try to remember him, because he's going to be your son-in-law.
Well,
that is if it's all right with you, sir.
And if it isn't?
He's still going to be your son-in-law.
You see how much we have to say?
But, Dad, this is really what I wanted to talk to you about.
Oh, well, do you mind if I look around?
Oh, help yourself. Or, Tom, show this. Say, where are you going?
Home.
Home?
I'm fired.
Who fired you?
You did.
Say, forget it. Forget it. Will you show this gentleman around?
Yes, sir. Right this way, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Tommy follows him.
Dad, Mother's planning on a big church wedding.
Yeah, she would.
Oh, I hate all that fuss. But I'll do it on one condition. That you're there to give me away, darling.
What would your mother say to that?
Well, it's my wedding, isn't it?
Yes, but wouldn't it be embarrassing? All of us there, your mother and me, your stepfather.
Oh, he can stay home. Please, Daddy, won't you?
Well, if you think it'd be all right.
Ah, you laugh.
Now, wait a minute. When's it going to be? I'm leaving town tonight.
Where are you going?
That's a secret. I can't even tell you, my dear. I've got an important idea to work on.
What is it, a new invention?
Yes, and I don't want somebody to steal it from me.
Oh, but we were planning on being married right after Christmas.
Oh, I'll be home before Christmas.
Is that a promise?
That's a promise I won't forget.
All right.
Where's Macaulay? It's time I started. Oh, how's your brother?
Oh, he's all right.
I'd like to see him. Why don't you bring him down?
Oh, you know how it is, Dad. He's sort of under Mother's thumb.
Yes, I know.
You're not missing much. He's cuckoo.
Like all the rest of us. So has this fellow... Has he seen the whole family?
Yes, and he still wants to marry me.
He's a brave man.
Yes.
Thanks a lot, old man. You certainly have an interesting plant here.
Didn't I tell you?
I didn't know that you invented that smelting process, Mr. Wynand.
Look, this is the first metal that came through.
A
three
watch
kinds
chain.
Of gold, silver, copper.
Well, isn't that interesting?
Oh, Daddy, does that still bother you?
No, only in bad weather.
Which isn't bad weather now.
Well, you better get home before it is.
All right. Well, goodbye, darling, and don't forget the 30th of December.
Goodbye, boy.
Goodbye.
Take good care of Dorothy. Show her that there is such a thing as a happy marriage.
Well, I'll do my best, yes, Mr. Wynand.
Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye, dear. Is it all settled?
Mm-hmm.
Grand. Say, why did your mother divorce him? I think he's swell.
Well, it seems he has a secretary.
Oh, well, I'll do my own typing.
They climb steps to the door. Outside, snow falls.
Ooh, that's a good barometer. Here's a taxi.
At the curb, a man holding an umbrella stands beside the cab. Dorothy peeks under the umbrella.
Hello, Mr. Macaulay.
Oh, how are you? Here, get under this.
No, we're taking your cab.
Your father still in there?
Yes, he's waiting for you.
Did he tell you where he was going?
Wouldn't say.
Well, goodbye, Miss Winant.
Here's your change, boss.
You wouldn't drive slowly, so you don't get a tip.
That's okay, sweetheart. I got it anyway.
The cab drives away. Macaulay, middle-aged with a small mustache, counts his change, then glares at the retreating cab. He visits the workshop.
Oh, Mr. Winant.
Hello there. Did you get my money?
I do wish you'd tell me where you're going.
I'm not telling anyone.
Suppose some business should come up.
That's just why I'm going.
There's 100, 200, 300.
Oh, yeah, never mind.
Well, I wish you'd count it. There's $1,000 there.
I trust you.
Isn't there anything else I can do for you? Have you bought your ticket?
No.
Well, let me do that for you.
Yeah, you might do that. You might get me a ticket for... No, you don't.
He steps into an elevator.
Thanks and goodbye.
Well, what'll I do if something comes up?
Settle it yourself. What have I got a lawyer for?
Is Julia going with you?
No.
Well, what if you need more money?
I've left instructions with Julia. She'll get it from you. Goodbye.
Well, you don't tell me a thing. I don't know where you're going. I don't know when you're coming back. I don't know how to reach you if any business comes up.
Macaulay leans back, gazing up the shaft as the elevator carries Winant to the next floor, then shakes his head. Upstairs, Winant enters an office.
Hello, Tanner.
Winant?
My daughter is going to be married, Tanner. Nice young man. She just brought him in.
Well, congratulations.
Tanner knits his brow.
I'm going to make her a wedding present. Thought I'd better do it now before I forget it. I can drop them on the way.
He opens a safe and frowns. Tanner glances away.
That's funny.
Winant narrows his eyes at Tanner.
Where are those bonds?
Bonds, sir?
I know I put them in there.
Maybe Miss Wolf has them, sir.
Yes. Maybe she has.
Joe?
Yeah?
How do you like yours?
Straight.
A man flips through a women's fashion magazine. He holds up a page showing two women in tight girdles and brassieres.
You women sure take a lot of punishment.
The short, pug-nosed Joe stands and drops the magazine on the chair. A man wearing a dark overcoat and fedora steps into the apartment. Winant.
You're in the wrong place, buddy.
Am I?
What's on your mind? What do you want?
Who is it, Joe?
That's what I want to know.
A blonde comes out of the kitchen.
We're just having a little drink.
Yeah, so I see.
Well, see you later, Joe.
Sorry, didn't know I was talking to the boyfriend.
Joe grabs his suit jacket and strides to the door.
So long.
So long, Joe.
Who's that man?
He isn't anybody. Just a fellow I used to know.
I thought you'd given up that sort of friend.
Why? It's the first time I've seen him in years. I didn't want him to think I was high-hatting him.
You know how I feel about that sort of thing.
Don't worry. You won't see him again. Tell me, did you change your mind about going?
No, I just came back for a second. I want to get those bonds.
Bonds?
Her eyes dart away. She sits.
What bonds?
The government bonds. The ones you took from the office safe.
Oh, yes. You told me to sell those a long time ago.
I never tell you to sell those. I bought those for my daughter.
But don't you remember?
Now, see here, Julia. You're counting too much on my absent-mindedness. You've been taking a little here and there for some time without my saying anything about it. But this is $50,000.
Do you realize you're accusing me of...
No one else had the combination of that safe. You took them. What did you do with them?
What if I did take them? I'm sick and tired of seeing you hand out thousands of dollars to that family of yours.
That's my business.
And supporting a gang of loafers that don't care a darn about you. A wife that kicked you out the first time your foot slipped. Not one of them would raise a hand to help you, and I've given my whole life to you. If you kicked off tomorrow, where would I be? Out in the gutter. Certainly I took those bonds. Who has a better right?
I want that money right now, or I'll hand you over to the police.
Go ahead.
It'll be pretty rough with you, with your record.
That's a fine thing to say to me after what I've been to you.
Hello. Give me...
Julia presses down the phone's hook. Winant grins.
Well?
Standing, he looms over her.
All right. I'll give it to you. $25,000. That's all I've got.
You're going to return every cent of it.
I can't. I haven't got it.
What'd you do with the rest?
I never had it.
Then there was someone in with you. Who was it? Who was it? I'll answer that. Hello. Hello. Hello.
On the other end of the line, a man with a scar on his cheek hangs up.
Hello!
Julia watches, clenching her hands, as Winant slams down the receiver. Glaring, he storms past her and grabs his coat off a chair.
You don't need to tell me. I have a pretty good idea.
He heads for the door.
What are you going to do?
Winant's thin lips spread into a threatening sneer. Julia's eyes widen. She takes a step away, biting her knuckle. He shuts the door. Outside, Winant closes the lapels of his coat and walks down the sidewalk with his hands in his pockets. His shadow stretches ahead of him in a long, dark column. A piano player's foot thumps to the beat, and well-dressed couples crowd a dance floor. Dorothy clutches her purse and gloves as she dances with Tommy. Her short, dark curls frame her smooth face. She wears a trim-fitting skirt suit with white fur cuffs and a fur collar.
Stop worrying about your father. He'll turn up all right.
Yes, but Tommy, today's Christmas Eve.
He's just forgotten. You know how he forgets everything.
No, he never forgets a promise to me. I'm worried, Tommy. I know something's happened to him.
What could happen to him, darling? Now, will you stop worrying?
At the bar, a man with wavy dark hair and a pencil-thin mustache has an audience of three bartenders and a waiter. He holds a martini shaker.
You see, the important thing is the rhythm. You always have rhythm in your shaking. Now, in Manhattan, you shake to foxtrot time. A Bronx to two-step time. The dry martini, you always shake to waltz time.
He pours a glass and sets it on the waiter's tray. The waiter offers it to him, and he accepts. Across the room, Dorothy notices him.
Oh.
Pinky extended, the dark-haired man downs the martini.
What is it?
Just a minute.
Dorothy goes to the bar.
Now, mind you, there's a still more modern trend in...
He finds himself face-to-face with Dorothy.
Certain people are...
Hello there.
Hello. Another glass. How are you?
You know, we do know each other.
Well, of course we do. We've known each other for years.
Aren't you Nick Charles?
Yeah.
You don't remember me. I'm Dorothy Winant.
Not that scrawny little bit
yes.
of...
Yes.
Well, how do you ever remember me?
Oh, you used to fascinate me, real live detective. You used to tell me the most wonderful stories. Were they true?
Probably not.
Tommy, this is Nick Charles.
Hi, Tommy.
How do you do?
Have another glass.
He worked once on a case for my father.
Yeah, some nut wanted to kill him. How is your father?
Oh, that's what I came to ask you. He's disappeared.
Now, don't say that, darling. He's just away somewhere working.
Well, I can't find him. I've tried everything. I thought you might know.
I don't know anything. I've been in California for the last 4 years. So what about his lawyer? Used to be some bird by the name of Mac...
Macaulay?
Herbert Macaulay.
Well, I tried him once.
Why don't you try him again?
Here, here's a nickel.
Thank you. I'll be right back.
You know, she's got me worrying, too.
Oh, you mustn't worry about him. Mind you, he's a great guy, but... Screwy.
Madam, I'm very sorry.
In the lobby, a wire-haired terrier pulls a woman carrying packages. The doorman and maitre d' chase her.
You cannot take the dog there.
I'm not taking him. He's taking me.
She falls flat.
Are you hurt, madam?
Are you hurt, madam?
Oh, women and children first, boys.
Say, what is the score, anyway?
Oh, so it's you he was after.
Hello, sugar.
He's dragged me into every gin mill on the block.
Yeah, I had him out this morning.
I thought so.
Oh, this is Tommy. My wife.
How are you?
How do you do?
Tommy, I don't usually look like this. I've been Christmas shopping.
Madam, I'm afraid we shall take the dog out.
Oh, it's all right, Joe. It's all right. It's my dog. And my wife.
Well, you might have mentioned me first on the billing.
The dog's well trained. He'll behave himself.
It might bite somebody.
Oh, he's all right. Look, lie down. Lie down.
Asta blinks at them.
Stand up.
Asta sits. Nick smiles broadly.
Oh, any luck?
Yes, he's just round the corner.
Your father?
No, Macaulay. I'm just going to go and see him.
Oh, my wife. This is Dorothy Winant.
How do you do? I'm sorry we have to rush.
See, we're stopping at the Normandy for a couple of weeks. Drop around. See us.
Well, we'd love to. Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Sit down, sugar. Oh, Leo.
Yes, sir.
Two
cocktails.
They sit at a table.
Pretty girl.
Yes, she's a very nice type.
You got types?
Only you, darling. Lanky brunettes with wicked jaws. Leo, compliments this season.
Who is she?
Oh, darling, I was hoping I wouldn't have to answer that.
Come on.
Well, Dorothy is really my daughter. You see, it was spring in Venice. And I was so young, I didn't know what I was doing. We're all like that on my father's side.
By the way, how is your father's side?
Oh, it's much better, thanks. And yours?
Say, how many drinks have you had?
This will make 6 martinis.
All right. Will you bring me 5 more martinis? Leo, line them right up here.
Yes, ma'am.
Morning. Nora lies fully dressed on a bed. Nick lays a water bottle across her forehead.
What hit me?
The last martini. How about a little pick-me-up?
No! I can't lie here. I've got to get up and trim that darn Christmas tree.
She stands, then plops back down on the bed.
What's the idea of pushing me? Who's that?
It's probably Santa Claus.
Nick passes through the swank living room to the door.
How are you? Oh, hello, McCauley. Go in.
Dorothy told me you were here. I was going to telephone, but...
Oh, that's all right. Sit down, won't you? What are you drinking?
Oh, nothing, thanks, nothing.
Oh, that's a mistake.
I wanted to see you. What's Mimi up to, Mr. Charles?
Me? Oh, Dorothy's mother. Is she up to something?
She usually is, trying one way or another to get money out of Wynot. I wanted to find out if you were, sleuthing for her.
Oh, I haven't been a detective in 4 years.
That's so.
Oh, my wife's father died and left her a narrow gauge railway and a lumber mill and, several other things. I'm taking care of them.
So
what's the fuss about? Is he in hiding?
You know as much about it as I do. I haven't seen him in 3 months.
No word at all?
Oh, he sends word through his secretary, Julia Wolf, when he wants money. I give it to her and... she gives it to him.
That's still on, huh? Excuse me.
Hello?
Nick listens in.
Oh, just a minute.
For you.
Is there a Mr. McCauley in the house? Oh. Oh, pardon me.
Yes? Oh, just a moment.
My wife.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Yes, what would you say? He is. Well, where is he now?
Nick and Nora horse around.
Oh, very well.
Excuse us.
He's back in town. Wynot.
Wynot?
Yes, he's waiting for me now. Oh, forgive me, Mrs. Charles, but I've been so upset. You know, it's no joke working for a man like that. He's... well, I guess I'd better be off. Goodbye.
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 McCauley hurries to the door.
Merry Christmas.
Same to you.
The next person that says Merry Christmas to me, I'll kill him.
Yeah, I'm going to telephone that poor child. At least you'll be glad to know he's a liar.
Nora decorates the tree.
Asta!
Asta looks up at Nora and wags his stubby tail. Sitting on the couch, Nick dials the phone. A middle-aged woman in a vampy black satin dress answers.
Hello? Oh, how are you? Oh, I'm Mrs. Jorgensen now. Dorothy? No, she isn't here. Is it something about her father? Perhaps I can take the message. Oh, here she is now. Hello?
Yeah, I just wanted to relieve your mind. He's alive and he's all right.
Oh, thank goodness.
What is it? Has he found him?
Do you know where he's living? Oh. Well, at least I'm glad he's all right. Thank you for calling. Goodbye.
What is it? What is it?
Nothing.
That isn't true. It's something about your father. Where is he?
He's all right. Isn't that enough?
No.
You just want money, and you haven't any right to anymore. He made a big settlement on you.
Ah, that's gone long ago. I've got to find him. Where is he?
Well, Mother, I won't have you hounding him for any more money.
I can tell you, Mother.
You've been listening on that extension again.
Of course, of course. What's an extension for?
That's right, Gilbert. Tell Mother, what did he say?
He said that Father's in town. He's been seeing Julia right along.
Oh, that woman.
She can tell you where Father is.
Oh, Mother, you couldn't do that. You wouldn't go to her. I didn't say that I would. But we've got to have money.
Did it ever occur to you that Chris might work?
Shh.
Across the room, a man rises from an armchair, gazes woefully at them, then leaves.
Oh. Now you've hurt his feelings.
She hurries after him.
Chris?
You know, you have an Oedipus complex and you won't admit it.
Oh, please, Gilbert.
The trouble with you is you won't face facts. Now, I know I have a mother fixation, but it's slight. It hasn't yet reached the point of where...
Stop it, Gilbert, stop it.
In the bedroom, Chris puts on his coat.
Don't mind what she says, Chris.
How can I help but mind? I'm constantly humiliated just because I haven't money.
I'll get some.
Yes, you said that for weeks.
Oh,
I know.
Why don't you go to see Julia? She handles his money.
Oh, Chris.
All right, all right.
Oh, I couldn't go near that woman.
I said all right.
Oh, Chris, what are you going to do?
Just what I said I'd do.
Oh, you wouldn't do that. You
wouldn't.
Oh,
wouldn't I? Just watch me.
He storms out.
Oh, Chris. 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 Chris.
The blonde-haired Mrs. Jorgensen flings open the front door. In the hall, the elevator door slides shut. She flaps her hands, waving her flowing fur-trimmed cuffs, then goes to a white phone and dials. Around the corner, Gilbert eavesdrops.
Get me Miss Wolfe at the Clarkson Apartments. Hello. Miss Wolfe? This is Mrs. Jorgensen.
I wonder if I may see you.
Yes, of course.
Thank you.
Julia hangs up. Fingering her lower lip thoughtfully, she picks up the phone again. Later, Mrs. Jorgensen approaches the desk at an apartment building.
Miss Wolfe's apartment, please.
9A. Who's calling, please?
Never mind, Miss Wolfe is expecting me.
Around the corner, the man with the long scar on his cheek listens, then heads downstairs. Upstairs, Mrs. Jorgensen rings Julia's doorbell. Meanwhile, the scar-faced man slips out a basement door. Outside Julia's apartment, Mrs. Jorgensen purses her lips as she knocks. She turns the doorknob. It's unlocked. She opens the door slowly.
Miss Wolfe? Miss Wolfe!
Glancing over her shoulder, Mrs. Jorgensen steps in and shuts the door behind her. Outside the basement door, the scar-faced man lights a cigarette, then hurries down the sidewalk. Upstairs, Mrs. Jorgensen enters Julia's bedroom. Julia lies face down on the floor. Gaping, Mrs. Jorgensen kneels beside her motionless body. She yanks something from Julia's hand and drops it into her small black purse. Standing, Mrs. Jorgensen scurries into the living room, her wide-eyed gaze darting left and right. Her fingers run nervously over the clasp of her purse. Running across the room, she picks up the receiver to a white phone and presses the hook repeatedly, then dials.
Quick! Quick! Send somebody up here right away! Something terrible has happened!
Julia Wolfe, 145 West 55th Street.
That's me!
Here you are.
What is it?
Woman murdered.
At a pub, a woman with curly blonde hair sits across from the scar-faced man, munching on a pretzel.
Where you been?
Out making money?
Let's see it.
I haven't got it yet. But I'll get it.
Now at a theater, a dozen showgirls rehearse a dance routine.
Get out, girls. Get out. Come on, take the body.
A portly man in a suit crosses the stage and goes to a bar in the hallway. Julia's friend, Joe, leans against the counter.
Come on, shake your feet. Take your hand.
Oh, really?
Hiya, Studsy.
Hey, didn't you know Julia Wolfe?
Come on, take it up. Hey, baby.
Yeah.
Now.
Why?
Somebody just bumped her off. It's not maybe you'd like to know.
Now at McCauley's office.
Yes?
Telephone, Mr. McCauley.
Well, who is it?
The police.
He raises his eyebrows.
Hello? Murdered? Yes. Yes, I'll be right over.
What you going to tell him?
I'm going to tell him everything.
You don't think Mr. Wine is...
I don't think anything, but I heard an awful fight in there a while ago.
All right, girls.
Oh, yes, sir. Come on. Yeah.
Later,
oh, yes.
In Julia's apartment.
When was the last time you gave her money for wine?
Yesterday. I gave her $1,000.
Seen any signs of that bill?
No. Nope. Perhaps it was a robbery.
And her with that sparkle on her finger and $30 in her purse? Looks to me like our friend Wine came around to collect and ran into a little trouble.
They say downstairs they haven't seen him in 3 months.
There's a lot of things they don't see around this place. So you say you haven't seen or heard from him in that time?
I said he hadn't written me.
Oh, then you have heard from him.
Well, what? He telephoned me today.
He did?
I wasn't in. My secretary took the message. He left word for me to meet him at the plaza.
What time was that?
3.
Did you go?
Yes, but he didn't show up.
A man strides in.
Well, his house and his shop is closed and he ain't at any hotel.
So, you've seen your duty and you've done it, huh? You gonna stop at that?
No, sir.
I know he'll turn up as soon as he sees this in the papers. You can't think he had anything to do with it, Mr. Gill. He wasn't the kind of man that would...
You know what they fought about that night he went away?
I didn't know they had a fight.
Well, thanks. We'll get in touch with you when we need you again.
Time to go?
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Mr. Gill, come here.
In the bedroom.
There's something very interesting.
He examines Julia's hand, now at Mrs. Jorgensen's.
And there she was, lying on the floor, dead. The police said that she'd been killed about 10 minutes before I got there.
I thought you said you weren't going there.
Well, you said...
Never mind.
Did they find any clues, a gun or fingerprints or anything?
Nothing.
Was there much blood?
Oh, Gilbert, don't be so horrible. Nonsense. She got just what she deserved.
Did you kill her?
Gilbert!
Well, why not? You had a perfectly good motive.
I hope you won't talk like that when the police get here.
The police? I thought you said they'd finish with you.
They said they'd finish for the present.
Well, I've got my alibi. I was at the public library. Where were you?
Children, I want to speak to Chris alone. Will you please go into the next room?
Well, I'll go.
I'll be in my room.
Chris leaves as Gilbert opens the door.
Is Mrs. Jorgensen in?
Yes, come right in.
Gild takes off his hat.
Oh, Mrs. Jorgensen, a few points I'd like to clear up.
Yes. Won't you sit down?
Thank you.
In the hallway, a back door opens. Chris slips out wearing his coat and hat and goes downstairs.
You say you were in the room with the body from the time it was discovered until we came?
Why, yes.
Did you,
Gilbert eyes Gild.
Did you see anything in Miss Wolfe's hand?
Oh, no.
Are you sure that at no time you left the room for a moment that one of the maids or bellboys might not have slipped in there and been alone with the body?
Well, I don't think so. You see, I was so upset I hardly knew what I was doing.
The medical examiner seems to think that,
Gilbert leans closer.
That the body'd been touched. That someone had forced open the girl's hand after she'd been killed. Moreover, we found that she had in her possession $1,000 the night before.
I'm sorry I can't help you.
Well, that's quite all right. We'll be going along. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Mrs. Jorgensen rises. Gilbert follows Gil to the door.
Could I come down and see the body? I've never seen a dead body.
Why do you want to?
Well, I've been studying psychopathic criminology, and I have a theory. Perhaps this was the work of a sadist or a paranoiac. If I saw it, I might be able to tell.
Yeah, that's a good idea. But don't you bother to come down. We'll bring the body right up to you.
Gild steps into the elevator. His partner edges away from Gilbert, who stares through his round, horn-rimmed spectacles. In the apartment, Mimi, Mrs. Jorgensen, takes a picture off the bedroom wall, revealing a safe. Dorothy bursts into the room.
What have you got there? None of your business. You took that money from Julia Wolfe's hand.
I didn't.
Then what are you hiding?
A piece of evidence that's worth a great deal more than that. You hand that over to the police.
I'll do nothing of the sort.
Very well, then. I will.
Oh, I don't think you will. It's your father's.
I don't believe you. You're lying.
Mimi unfolds a handkerchief.
There.
She pulls out Winant's watch chain.
Oh. Now will you believe me?
At Nick and Nora's.
Well, after all, I can look at a pretty girl, can't I?
Kissing Nora, Nick carries a tray of drinks into the crowded living room.
Ammunition? Come on, stock up.
Now, let this one ride,
Nick. You better. Hard times may get you.
Nick, who are these amazing people?
Oh, just a lot of old friends. Romans, countrymen, what do you say?
This is like old times. Nick, remember the fun we used to have when we were both flat broke?
Oh, don't I?
Those are the good old days.
Don't kid yourself. These are the good old days.
Hey, Nick, I think your wife is great.
Thanks. I wanted you to see her. And I wanted her to see you.
The gap-toothed man glares.
Want to buy a piece of this pug, Nick? I'll sell you 25% of him for $5,000.
Is he good?
He's been knocking him cold lately and afraid of nobody. Put that down or I'll slug you.
Now, I'll take a large piece of it. Having a good time?
Well...
A chubby man cries.
Here's that man again. Oh, ammunition?
Lounging guests take drinks.
Eyeballs and cocktails, the long and short of it. That's a pun. A punster should be punished. For tomorrow may bring sorrow. So tonight, let us be gay.
A cocktail?
Thank you very much.
Oh, do.
Nora passes martinis.
I certainly think your husband's great.
Well, I'm glad somebody does.
Asta peeks out from the kitchen. Nora opens the front door with a tray in her hand.
Have a cocktail?
Thanks. Nick Charles here?
Yes.
You're his wife?
Yes. Hey, Nick.
Nice guy. Sent me up the river one time. Hi, Nick.
Hello, face.
Long time I no see.
Long time.
Well, I needed the rest.
Was he a good detective?
I wouldn't know. That time he caught me was an accident. I live with my right.
Come on, kid. Shed the chapeau. Divest yourself of raiment and join the Yuletide Revelers. Revelers, I want you to know Face Pepler. And all you got to do is find out who they are.
Nick hands Face a drink. Nora, wearing a striped low-cut dress, makes a call.
Don't bother to announce anyone.
Just send them all up. Oh, I know. It's quite all right. They're all
his friends. Here's the latest news of the Julia Wolf murder. Police have found out that the beautiful blonde secretary was once a gangster's girl. They are now looking for the gangster. Clyde Winant, the girl's employer, is still missing. This case is developing into...
Can't you fellas ever think of anything but business?
Good case for you, Nick.
Haven't you heard the news? I'm a gentleman now.
Nick, the reporters.
Salutations, boys.
Hi, you gentlemen. I want to see you. Listen, I'm from the American, Mr. Charles.
Gentlemen.
And we were wondering if you'll give us a statement. We hear that you're here on the Julia Wolf case.
I don't know anything about it.
Oh, come on, give us a break, will you, please?
Say, listen. I never try to kid reporters. I'm telling you the truth.
Then why are you in town?
My wife's on a bender. I'm trying to sober her up. Oh, waiter. Drinks, please.
Into the kitchen, son, and thaw out some ice.
Grandma, what large glasses you have.
Say, listen, is he working on a case?
Yes.
What case?
A case of scotch. Pitch in and help him.
Asta backs away.
Say, I've got to order some food.
Isn't that a waste of energy?
You know, that sounds like an interesting case. Why don't you take it?
I haven't time. I'm much too busy seeing that you don't lose any of the money I married you for.
Room service, please. Well, it sounds like a good case. Girl mysteriously murdered. Nobody knows who did it. They haven't found any clues. No gun, no fingerprints.
I'll bet you dollars to dog biscuits that they never thought of...
He points at Nora and smiles.
I don't want to hear anything about it.
Is that my drink over there?
What are you drinking?
Rye.
Nick slugs it down, then hands her the glass.
Yes, that's yours.
He returns to the living room.
Send me up a whole flock of sandwiches.
The chubby man stops Nick.
I'd like to telephone my mother and wish her a Merry Christmas.
Well, why don't you?
Well, I haven't got any nickels.
Oh, forget the nickels. There you are. All right, there. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Another hunker?
I'll have two hunkers.
Give me long distance. I want to talk to San Francisco.
Nick frowns. He goes to the door. It's Dorothy.
Nick, I've got to see you. Alone.
Oh, come
hello
in.
There,
come
beautiful.
In. Come on, I'll take you over to here. Oh,
the reporters follow.
To our party.
Come on, baby, let's cross the ice and get away from the wolves.
Who's the little brunette?
I used to bounce in on my knee.
Which knee? Can I touch it?
In the bedroom.
Oh, baby. What's on your mind, Betty?
You heard about Julia Wolf?
Yeah?
She holds out a gun.
Oh, Nick, you're hurting me.
Of course. That's what I intend to do.
He takes it away.
What are you trying to tell me, that you did it?
Yes, I killed her.
He pushes her into a seat.
Sit down.
I hated her for coming between my mother and father. She kept me from seeing my father. I went down there to ask her where he was, and she wouldn't tell me, so I shot her.
How many times?
Once or twice.
Where'd you hit her?
I hit her in the heart.
What'd she do?
She fell over.
She screamed?
Yes.
Which way'd she fall?
She fell over backwards.
Whom are you trying to protect?
Oh, Nick,
Oh, wait a minute. She was shot four times. She fell on her face. She couldn't scream because she was killed instantly. Who do you think did it?
I don't know.
Where'd you get this gun?
I bought it in a pawn shop.
Is that another lie?
No, Nick, that's the truth. Oh, Nick.
Dorothy clings to him. Nora walks in and raises her penciled eyebrows at Nick. He makes a goofy face. Nora scrunches up her nose. Dorothy looks up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, don't be silly. Here, take this drink.
No, thank you.
Want a part of your nose? Everything's over there.
Make her take that.
Where'd you get that?
The gun.
She brought it in. Trying to make me believe that she did it.
What are you going to do with it?
Nothing. Well, I find out it was the gun that Julia Wolf was killed with.
He puts it away.
Keep her in here. Don't let the reporters get to her. They may believe her.
Nick steps out.
Say, isn't that Dorothy Winant?
Yes. Wait a minute. She doesn't know anything about it.
And you said you weren't on the case.
I'm not.
Oh, Mom.
Here, give me that, will you?
Hey, San Francisco. Well, hi, Mom.
Hey, Mom, get off the wire, will you? I want to talk business.
Oh, sure, Mom.
Operator, give me dry dock 4, 8,000.
Hey, don't do that. Don't tell your paper I'm working on anything, because I'm not.
He's working on that little girl.
Nick opens the door. It's Mimi.
Welcome to...
Oh, Nick.
Mimi, well, for the
love of... I want to talk to you about something very important.
I know, it's a convention.
Oh,
come
no,
right in.
No.
You got your roller skates on?
What?
Well, let's get rolling.
What is it?
Take your right... No. Yeah,
he takes her to the bathroom.
You don't mind? We'll... Yeah, just step in here.
Well,
I'm sorry, Mimi, but it's the only place where we can be alone. Won't you, sit down?
Outside, Gilbert arrives.
Why, hello, Mr. Winant. Come in and have a drink.
I don't drink.
I tell you, Clyde Winant is crazy. Absolutely crazy to stay away at a time like this. No wonder the police think that he has something to do with it.
What do you think?
Oh, I know that he hasn't, but I want awfully to see him. There's something very important I want to tell him. And Macaulay won't help a bit. He thinks I just want money.
Don't you?
Oh, you're always teasing.
Oh, I beg your pardon. We're just chatting.
Nick, you will help me find Clyde, won't you?
Mimi, there are 1,000 detectives in New York. Why don't you hire one of them?
Yes, but he knows you. Now, all you have to do is to get in touch with him and tell him Mimi says everything is all right, but that I've just got to see him.
I tell you again, I don't want any part of it. Now, you take Dorothy home.
Dorothy? Is she here?
Oh, yeah, she's in there with my wife.
In the bedroom.
What did you tell them? What did you tell them?
Wait a minute.
Say, it's too bad you didn't bring your whip.
She didn't tell us a thing.
Oh, I was so excited. I didn't realize what I was doing. Come on, Dorothy, we'll go home.
She doesn't have to go. She doesn't want to. You can stay here. There's plenty of room, and we'd love to have you.
Oh, that's sweet of you. No, thanks. I'll go. Oh, where's Gilbert?
Gilbert? Is he here? Oh, we might as well be living in the lobby.
There's a physiological as well as psychological angle in my father's relationship with Julia Wolfe that the police have overlooked. And I think it settles the whole question. You see, my father was a sexagenarian.
He was?
Yes, he admitted it.
A sexagenarian, eh? Yes. Yeah, but we can't put that in the paper.
Well, why not?
Oh, you know how they are, sex.
Well, then just say that he was 60 years old.
Is that what that means?
Of course. Hey, that's my hat.
Come and get it, Father. Hot.
Nick lures Gilbert to the bedroom and pushes him in.
You ordered me after that.
I swear I don't know anything about it.
Telephone, Nicky. Telephone.
Oh, that was the door. Hello?
The scar-faced man.
Mr. Charles, I'd like to lay a proposition before you. Well, I can't discuss it over the telephone, but if you'll give me a half hour of your time... Yeah. It's about Julia Wolfe.
A hand covers the receiver.
Hello? Hello?
What is it?
A reporter hovers.
Some guy trying to sell me insurance.
Nora walks in.
Where's Miss White?
Well, why, she's gone.
Which way did she go?
She went out the back door.
You mean the little brunette?
Yes.
Oh, she's about... Oh, I'm sorry, old fellow. I'm sorry. I beg...
Thanks, I'm engaged for this one.
Nick joins Nora as their guests sing. Asta turns circles and tries to cover his ears. At the Christmas tree, a man pops balloons. The chubby man clutches the phone.
I want to talk to Ma.
The gap-toothed man.
So you think you're a fighter, eh?
So what?
So listen, wife.
He thrusts a finger at the agent. By the fireplace, Face conducts the singers with a poker. Nora turns to Nick with a bleary smile.
Oh, Nicky, I love you. Because you know such lovely people.
Later, Nora sits up in bed, reading. Nick lies in another twin bed.
Nick? Nicky?
Ma?
You asleep?
Yes.
Good. I want to talk to you.
Jolly.
Wouldn't you like to do a little detecting once in a while just for fun?
Can't you get to sleep?
No.
Well, maybe if you took a drink, it'll help you.
No, thanks.
Well, maybe it would help if I took it.
He throws off the covers.
Everybody says you're a grand detective.
Well, they were kidding you.
I'd like to see you work.
Tomorrow morning, I'll get you a whole lot of detective stories.
I know, but that girl's in a tough spot.
There's nothing I can do to help her.
She thinks you can. Wouldn't hurt you to try and see if you could.
Well, darling, my guess is...
He downs his drink.
Wine and kill Julia... And Dorothy knows about it. The police will catch him without any help from me.
He gets back in bed.
I think I would like that drink.
Nick, wearing white silk pajamas, sits up and smiles.
My darling.
I'll give you your Christmas present now if you'll give me mine.
At breakfast?
Well, it's Christmas now.
He pours another drink.
Breakfast.
Setting the glass on the nightstand, he kisses her lips.
What are you going to give me? I hope I don't like it.
Well, you'll have to keep them anyway. As the man at the aquarium said that he wouldn't take them back.
Did you hear a knock?
Yes.
Well, it might be something important.
I'm sure it is.
Nora gets up, wearing a long satin nightgown with flowing sleeves. As she leaves the room, Nick reaches over and gulps down her drink. Nora opens the door.
Mr. Charles here?
Yes.
I got to talk to him, that's all, but I got to do that.
All right, come in.
Joe Morelli.
You wait here, I'll tell him you're here.
In the bedroom, Nick struggles with his blankets.
Hey, what in the name of...
Someone to see you, dear.
Well, that's good. I'm afraid I have to go to sleep.
Come on, get up out of that bed. Let me straighten this up. You're worse than an infant.
Funny. Those blankets must be a little cockeyed.
Mm.
Right, Esther?
As Nora spreads out the blankets, Joe appears in the doorway, pointing a gun. Nick manages a groggy frown.
There. You've got the funniest look on your face I ever saw in my life. Hurry up, go on out there. That man's waiting for you.
Nora sits, then sees Joe.
I gotta talk to you. I want you to tell me something. I want you to give it to me straight. Get me?
Hey, would you mind putting that gun away? My wife doesn't care, but I'm a very timid fellow.
You idiot. Ask her.
All right, shoot. I mean, what's on your mind?
You don't have to tell me you're tough. I heard about you. I'm Joe Morelli.
I never heard about you.
I didn't knock Julia off.
All right, you didn't.
I ain't seen her in about 3 months. We was all washed up.
Why tell me?
I wouldn't have any reason to hurt her. She was always on the up and up with me, but that dirty little Nunheim, he got sore with her because I clicked and he didn't. And he put the finger on me.
Well, this is all swell, brother, but you're peddling your fish in the wrong market. I've got nothing to do with this.
Now, listen, Studsy Burke says you used to be okay. That's why I'm here.
Is Studsy? I didn't know he was out of stir.
Oh, he's all right. He'd like to see you. But listen, what's the law doing to me? Do they think I did it, or is it just something else to pin on me?
If I knew, I'd tell you. I don't know anything about it. Ask the police.
That'd be very smart. That'd be about the smartest thing I ever did. Me, that a police captain's been in the hospital 3 weeks on account of we had an argument. The boys would like to have me come in and ask questions. They'd like it right down to the end of their blackjacks. Now, I comes to you on a level. Studsy says you're on the level. Why don't you be on the level?
I am on the level. If I knew anything, I'd be...
What's that?
I don't know. That makes this your party.
Open up, police!
Why, you two-timing?
Nick hits Nora. He tackles Morelli. As the police barge in and grab Morelli, Nick runs to Nora, who lies on the floor.
Hey, Bob.
Nora.
Take me that bottle, will you?
What knocked her out?
I did. She was on the line of fire. Somebody call a doctor, will you? Hey, baby.
He gives her a drink.
Sweet. Help me out in the bed with her, will you?
Hey, all right?
Baby.
You darn fool, you didn't have to knock me out. I knew you'd take him, but I wanted to see you do it.
There's a girl with hair in her chest.
Nicky.
Yeah?
Nicky, are you hurt?
No, he just grazed me, that's
you
all.
You are. Somebody get a doctor.
Now, there's one call already.
Get into bed. Are you all right?
Sure, I can't even feel it.
I'll get some towels.
Guild opens Nick's pajama shirt.
Pretty close.
Have a shot, will you?
Hey, but you'll be okay.
Tough luck.
Shut up.
Here, darling, use this.
Nah, baby, it's only a scratch.
You want a drink?
What do you think? Say, how did you people happen to pop in here?
We hear this is getting to be sort of a meeting place for the Winant family. So we figure we'll stick around just in case the old boy himself should show up. Then we see this bird sneak in, and we decide to come up. And lucky for you, we did.
Yes, I might not have been shot.
You know this monkey?
That dirty little rat Nunheim.
Is he a friend of yours?
I never saw him before.
What do you want with you?
He wanted to tell me that he didn't kill Julia Wolf.
What's that to you?
Nothing.
What do you think it was to you?
Ask him.
I'm asking you.
Keep on asking.
Frisk the dump.
Not without a warrant.
So you say. Go on, Bob.
Tough, huh?
Now, look here, Charles. I guess we're both of us going about this thing in the wrong way. Now, I don't want to get tough with you, and I'm sure you don't want to get tough with me. There's just one more question I want to ask you. Are you willing to swear to a complaint for this guy's plugging you?
Now, that's another one I can't answer right now. Maybe it was an accident.
Bob searches a bureau.
What's that man doing in my drawers?
Nick spits out a mouthful, then gapes as Bob finds Dorothy's gun.
Here you are, Lieutenant.
Guild's face twitches in a stiff smile.
You got a pistol permit?
No.
Ever heard of the Sullivan Act?
Oh, that's all right. We're married.
This gun yours?
No.
Whose is it?
I'll have to try to remember.
Okay. We got plenty of time. I guess I'll have to ask you a lot more questions than I figured. We'll come around tomorrow when you're feeling better. All right, come on, boys.
The police file out with Morelli.
Say, where's Asta? Asta?
Asta crawls out from under the skirting of a sofa.
Asta, come here. You're a fine watchdog.
He's got more sense than you have. I'm glad you're not on this case.
On it? I'm in it. They think I did it.
Well, didn't you?
Nick rings a pillow at her. Morning. Lying on the living room couch, Nick aims a toy rifle at balloons on the Christmas tree. A misfire. He opens the barrel and reloads. Nora sits in an easy chair, watching. She wears a long mink coat. A hit. Nora gazes at him, unamused, with heavy-lidded eyes. Nick holds his slippered feet together and rests the rifle's barrel between them. Asta peeks from the kitchen. Lowering his ears, Asta turns away. Nick raises his feet again and aims through the diamond-shaped space between his bent legs. Another hit. He rolls over onto his stomach. Pointing the small rifle over his shoulder, he uses a shiny ice bucket lid to see the tree, then aims. A window shatters. Nora rolls her eyes. Putting the gun down, Nick curls into a ball.
Well, I hope you're satisfied.
Huh? Where am I?
You're not in a shooting gallery.
Ah, but sugar, this is the nicest Christmas present I've ever had.
That's as though it were the only Christmas present you ever had.
Hmm? Say, where'd you get that wristwatch?
It's a Christmas present.
Yeah, who gave it to you?
You did?
He squirms.
Well, you must admit I've got pretty good taste.
Hello. You finished with this?
Yes, and I know as much about the murder as they do. Oh, I'm a hero. I was shot twice in the Tribune.
I read where you were shot 5 times in the tabloids.
It's not true. He didn't come anywhere near my tabloids. Ah, bullseye.
Hello? Who is it? Oh, send him right up.
Who's that?
Mr. McCauley. The Mallorys. Oh, dear, I forgot all about them.
See, aren't you hot in that?
Yes, I'm stifling, but it's so pretty. The Kirbys.
Is that another Christmas present?
Mm-hmm.
Did I give it to you?
Yes.
I'm spoiling you.
A telegram.
Why, Nicky, this is from Clyde Wynant. He says, will you take charge of investigation on Julia Wolfe murder? Communicate with Herbert McCauley.
Let me see. Where's it from?
Philadelphia. Well, then he didn't do it.
I don't know.
Well, he wouldn't ask you to handle it if he were guilty, would he?
Nora stands.
Your guess is as good as mine, baby.
Oh, Nicky, take the case.
You take it. I'm too busy.
It's McCauley.
How do you do?
Good morning. Well, I'm afraid this isn't a very Merry Christmas for you.
Oh, he's all right.
Good.
Hi, McCauley.
Oh, I'm fine. You're coming along better than I am.
Well,
I hope you're not seriously hurt.
Oh, just a scratch. I forgot it.
Oh, what a delightful toy.
That's Asta's Christmas present.
A small fire hydrant.
I got word from Wynant this morning.
So did we. I mean, Sherlock here.
Darling, will you,
pass you your drink, yes.
McCauley reads the telegram.
You? Well, what are the chances of getting you to do what he wants?
Slim.
Oh, Nick.
Well, would it help any if I could persuade him to meet you?
Might.
He gave me a code message to insert in the Times in case I wanted to get in touch with him.
Well, I don't suppose it'd do any harm to put it in.
I've done that already.
Thank you.
He should appear, you know.
Hello?
It doesn't look well he's staying away at a time like this.
Police.
For me?
Hmm.
Hello? Where? Allentown. Yes. Well, when is the next train? Right. I'll get that. Wynant's tried to commit suicide. They want me to go down and identify him. Well, I guess this changes the whole story, doesn't it? That looks like an admission of guilt. And I had such hopes. I thought if you got on the case, you'd be able to clear him. I thought that Mimi, the way she acted, I was sure that... Well, there's no use thinking about that now. Well, I'm sorry to have wasted so much of your time.
Oh,
well,
no,
goodbye. No. Have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, same to you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Nora shuts the door. In the corner, Asta snaps at a balloon as it floats to the floor. Flinching, Asta scurries away.
Asta, is your balloon busted? So's mine.
What's the matter with you?
Oh, the mystery's all gone. I was hoping you'd find out who did it.
Maybe I will.
Well, Winant.
I don't believe he did it.
Why don't you?
No reason, just a hunch. But I'm going to find out. I'm tired of being pushed around. Come on, Dr. Watson, let's go places.
Nick takes his wife's arm and they skip to the bedroom. Later, as they leave the hotel, they meet Lieutenant Guild.
Well, good morning,
Nick. Good morning, Guild.
Good morning.
Excuse me.
Well,
not a very nice trick you're trying to pull on me, running out like this when I was giving you time to rest up before I asked you those questions.
What do you mean, about the gun?
Oh, that never was a gun. Don't waste time talking about that. But look here, Nick. Man to man, are you working on this case?
Man to man, I'm not.
But he's interested.
Well, don't mind telling you, I'd rather have you working with us than against us.
That suits me.
And it's a bargain. Anything you want to know?
What about the suicide?
Oh, that was a phony. The boys didn't even have to go down.
Yes, I thought it might be. From now on, they're going to think that every thin man with white hair is Winant.
You think Winant did it?
Well, I don't know. He certainly planned something. He closed up his apartment and shop.
Were you there?
Yes, but I couldn't find a thing. You see, I figured like this. Winant went to Julia's apartment and found Morelli there. See, she's two-timing him. There's a fight. He doesn't pull anything then, though, on account of Morelli. Lets his lawyer go ahead and give her money to give to him so that she'll think it's all blown over. Then when she isn't expecting it, he lets her have it. No proof? No, nothing as yet to cinch it.
50 to get you 100. You didn't do it.
What do you mean?
Well, for one thing, he was too absent-minded to hold a grudge.
Who's your candidate?
Well, I haven't gotten that far yet. I don't think that everything points to Winant. What about your alibis?
Oh, they're all okay. Mrs. Jorgensen, the boy, Dorothy, McCauley, even Morelli. We had to let him go.
What about Jorgensen?
I'll check on that. Mrs. Charles, this all must be very dull for you.
Dull? I'm sitting on the edge of my chair.
What about Nunheim?
Oh, he's all right. We know all about him. He does a little stooling for us once in a while.
Did you know that he's been hanging around Julia?
No.
Holding out on you.
Let's look into that.
Taxi!
Make it a bit rough, baby. I think you better let us go alone.
Catch me letting you go alone.
Nora gets into a cab. Nick shuts the door and hands the driver a few bills.
Grant's tone.
Nora bangs on the glass as the taxi whisks her away. Guild laughs.
Taxi!
Later, in a dimly lit hallway, Nick and Lieutenant Guild approach the door to an apartment. Inside, Nunheim, the man with the scar, glances at his blonde girlfriend.
Who is it?
John.
Nunheim opens the door. Guild and Nick wear overcoats and fedoras.
Oh, Lieutenant.
They file in past him.
Sit down, Nick.
I wasn't expecting you, Lieutenant. You said you'd phone.
Nick crosses his legs. Nunheim glances from one man to the other.
Have a shot?
What's the idea of telling me you knew the Wolf girl just by sight?
That's all I did, Lieutenant. That's the God's truth. Maybe I said hello to her. How are you? Something like that when I saw her. But that's all I did, Lieutenant. That's the truth. You open your mouth and I'll pop a tooth out of it.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
She throws a pan. Nunheim starts after her.
Cut it out. Cut it out. We didn't come here to watch you two roughhouse.
The woman slams the bedroom door.
Driving me nuts. She's been ragging me all day.
Maybe if you quit running around after other women, you wouldn't have so much trouble with this one.
Now, that's a lie, Lieutenant. Anybody that says that's a liar.
Guild eyes Nick.
You want to take a poke at him?
Oh. I didn't mean you, mister.
Come on, she can't hear you now.
You know how it is. Guy knocking around.
You'd have done better to have told me that in the beginning.
Guild steps close.
Where were you the afternoon she was knocked off?
Say, you don't think I had anything to do with it?
Where were you?
The woman storms from the bedroom carrying a suitcase.
Marion!
Wait a minute, wait a minute.
I don't like crooks. And if I did like them, I wouldn't like crooks that are stool pigeons. And if I did like crooks that are stool pigeons, I still wouldn't like you.
Marion, don't go.
Guild holds him back.
Marion, wait a minute. I'll do anything you say. I'll behave. Don't go. Oh, come on, let me get after her, will you? Let me bring her back, please. I'll go out. I'll bring her right back. I'll do anything. I'll answer anything you want to know. I'll bring her back.
Sit down, sit down. We didn't come here to watch you two dance around a maypole. Where were you the afternoon that girl was killed?
I don't know. I don't know. I can't remember. I can't tell you just offhand. Maybe I was down at Charlie's shooting pool. Maybe I was up here. I don't know. She'd remember.
Yeah, how'd you like to be thrown in a can on account of not remembering?
Oh, just give me a minute, will you? I'll remember. You know I ain't stalling.
always come clean with you. Gee, sure. Sure, I remember. I wouldn't blame you if you threw me in the can. Look, I remember where I was. That's the afternoon. Wait a minute. I'll show you.
Nunheim goes into the bedroom. Gild turns to Nick.
Well, what do you think of it?
Well, I think we're on the right track.
Nick picks up the phone.
Who are you phoning?
I'm phoning your office so they can send out a man to trail him. I want to see where he goes.
Trail him? Trail who?
Nunheim.
Gild's eyes widen. He runs to the bedroom and flings open the door.
Give me that phone. Give me that phone. Bill, pick up Nunheim. Tell the boys. He just left here. Went down the fire escape. Cover the Grand Central and Pennsylvania stations. Check all airports and all steamship terminals.
Nick takes a sip of Nunheim's drink, then shudders and blinks his eyes.
He was dressed in a black pair of pants. Yes, yes. Pink, how should I know if his underwear's embroidered? What?
Later at a payphone.
They've been questioning me again today, see? Asking me what more I know, where I was that day. Now, wait a minute, I ducked out on them. Now, look, if you want me to play dumb anymore, I want 5,000 more. 5,000 and I'll blow town today.
Nunheim's lips spread in a grin.
Okay. Where? All right. Right away. See that you're there and see that you bring it with you.
Later, on a sidewalk, he slows down as he passes a pipe shop. Flicking away his cigarette, he climbs a set of steps to a door, then opens it. Nunheim falls face down on the sidewalk.
Arthur Nunheim, honorary member.
Nope, not a thing.
At the station.
Find out about that bullet yet?
Yes, it's the same gun that killed Julia Wolfe.
And how are your folks?
Gild picks up the phone.
Hello? Oh, how are you? No, we didn't find a thing. Your wife.
He hands it to Nick.
And, Lieutenant, I've got something. I've been doing a little detecting on my own. That flatfoot I married thinks he's smart, but I'm just one jump ahead of him.
Well, that's swell, Mr. Charles. How'd you like Grant's tomb?
Nora scrunches up her nose.
It's lovely. I'm having a copy made for you.
What have you got, baby? I can't quite hear you. Oh. We'll be right up. She's up at Mimi's. Jorgensen has disappeared.
Where?
At Mimi's.
Chris may be at the club or somewhere. I can't see that that's important.
You should have told him that he disappeared.
But he has nothing to do with it.
That's not for you to decide. Everybody's under suspicion. Especially running off like this. Well, the police are going to want a description of him. Is this his picture?
I tell you, he didn't do it.
Oh, they'll want more than your word for that.
All right, then. I'll tell them who did do it.
Mother!
And I'll give them proof.
Mimi brushes past Nick and out of the living room. Dorothy follows. In her room, Dorothy collapses in sobs on her ruffled white bed. Tommy stands over her.
Dory.
Oh, Tommy.
Please don't cry.
I can't help it. You don't know.
Now listen, darling, you can't go through any more of this. You get to gather some clothes and your skates and we'll go to my family in the country.
No, I can't.
But you've got to get your mind off all this.
Oh, darling, you've been so sweet, but there's only one thing you can do for me, and that is to go.
Go?
Go and never see me again.
You're talking about?
Oh, please, you can't get mixed up in this.
Or do you think I care about that?
Tommy, you don't understand. You don't know what's going to happen.
All I know is that I want you to marry me right now.
I can't marry you. I can't ever marry you.
Dorothy.
How'd you like to have a couple of little murderers for your children? That'd be fun, wouldn't it? Perhaps they'd all murder each other and keep it in the family. That's what Father should have done. He should have killed Gilbert and me, and then we wouldn't have had all this to go through.
Dorothy, you're talking like a crazy person.
Why not? I am crazy. All our family's crazy.
Dorothy, listen to me. I love you. Do you understand that? I love you.
Tommy. Please go. Go.
Tommy passes through the living room, where Gild sits on the couch smoking a cigar. Nora takes a step toward Tommy, but he leaves, hat in hand.
Sleuthing isn't much fun after all, is it? I feel awfully sorry for that girl.
Find anything?
She's ready to talk. Wouldn't do any harm, though, to find out where he is.
In the bedroom.
You know, you're wrong about all of your children being murderers. Now, I've studied the Mendelian law of inheritance and their experiments with sweet peas.
And according to their findings, and they've been pretty conclusive, only one out of four of your children will be a murderer. Now, the thing for you to do would be just have three children. No. No, that might not work. The first one might be the bad one. I'll have to look that up.
Oh, you needn't bother about looking that up. I'm not going to get married, and I'm not going to have any children. From now on, I'm just out for the ride. I took it from her hand. It was Mr. Wynett's watch chain. I wanted to protect him.
Well, I guess that cinches it, eh, Charles? He killed them both. The Wolf girl and Nunheim.
50 will still get you 100.
That's enough for me.
Newsboys hawk papers.
Extra! You double murdered Charles against Wynett.
Posters come off a press. $5,000 reward for Clyde Wynett. At a port, a plainclothes cop eyes passengers boarding a boat. At Nick and Nora's, Nora looks out the window at the street below.
I wish they'd stop that. Gives me the fidgets. Wonder if they'll find him. He must be in New York. Where do you think you're going?
I'm going to take Asta for a walk.
Well, he's just been for a walk.
Well, we're going sightseeing, aren't we, Asta?
What's that?
That's known in burgling circles as a flashlight.
Nick, what are you up to?
Hey.
She finds a gun.
What is this?
Looks like a holdup.
What are you going to do?
I'm going down to Wynett's shop. I want to find out why it's closed.
Well, why wouldn't he close it? He went away, didn't he?
Well, he went away lots of times when I knew him, but he never closed the shop. I got a hunch.
You think he's hiding there?
I don't know, but this thing's giving me the itch. I'm going to find out.
Nick, I won't have you going down there.
Hey, it was you that got me into this.
Well, I know, but this is different. He's a crazy man. He might kill you.
He won't kill me. I've got Asta to protect me.
All right. Go ahead. Go on. See if I care. But I think it's a dirty trick to bring me all the way to New York just to make a widow of me.
You wouldn't be a widow long.
You bet I wouldn't.
Not with all your money.
She turns from his kiss.
Well, any port in a storm. Goodbye, sugar.
Wearing a trench coat and fedora, Nick heads for the door with Asta.
Nicky! Nicky!
Huh?
Take care of yourself.
Oh, sure I will.
Don't say it like that. Say it if you meant it.
Well, I do believe the little woman cares.
I don't care. It's just that I'm used to you, that's all.
She throws her arms around his neck and kisses him on the lips. Nick wraps his arms tightly around his beautiful wife. Nora looks down at Asta.
If you let anything happen to him, you'll never wag that tail again.
Later, a taxi trundles down a dark street and stops outside Wynant's shop. The driver hops out and opens the passenger door.
You sure this is the place you want to come to?
Yep.
Nick climbs out.
Hey, you don't want me to wait, do you?
Certainly. Not afraid, are you?
No, I guess not.
All right, Asta.
At the top of the steps, Nick pulls a set of keys from his pocket. Shining the flashlight on them, he unlocks the door. Inside, his flashlight beam sweeps the dark walls. A white cat leaps onto a crate. Wagging his tail, Asta watches as the cat disappears into the shadows. Nick opens a door to a workshop full of machinery and wires. Light glints off a long row of glass insulators. Across the room, beakers and test tubes litter a tabletop. Nick aims the flashlight at two metal lockers and a cabinet against the wall. He opens them and looks inside, then moves on. Frowning, he stops and looks over his shoulder.
Asta.
Nearby, Asta sniffs a spot on the floor, his leash dangling from his collar. Nick shines the flashlight at him and walks away. He examines a wooden bin, peering under its lid, then turns and points the flashlight into a corner where pipes run along the wall. Nick heads for the door.
Come on, Asta. Asta?
Wagging his stubby tail, Asta sniffs the same spot and scratches it with his paw. Nick moves closer. Stooping down, he notices a dark rectangular patch on the floor. Asta claws at it.
Asta, you're not a terrier, you're a police dog.
Nick finds a long metal rod in a corner. Dragging it out, he knocks on the rectangular patch, then on the floor beside it. Ramming it against the patch, he chips away the flooring. Asta scurries close to Nick's hammering, then steps back and watches with a wagging tail. The rod widens the crack in the floor, then breaks through. Asta sticks his nose into the 4-inch-wide hole. Nick pushes Asta away and leans close, then jerks his head away. He sets the rod aside, then steps back and gazes soberly at the patch in the floor. The brim of his fedora casts a slanting shadow over his brow.
Asta, get away from there. Go on.
Nick turns sharply and climbs steps to the workshop's upper platform.
Go on.
Asta scampers after him. Passing the elevator shaft, Nick heads up an open wooden stairway, shining the flashlight in front of him. Upstairs, he paces along a dark hallway toward the office. Asta sticks close to his heels. Shining his light on the set of keys, he chooses one and unlocks the office door. Inside, he sweeps the flashlight beam around the pitch-dark room. Tanner's stool and a tall desk with a slanted top stand off to the side. Straight ahead, the flashlight beam sweeps across McCauley's desk. Nick walks around it and turns on a lamp with a glass shade. Sitting, he lifts the receiver from a candlestick phone and dials. The lamp casts a dim circle of light over the cluttered desk.
Hello, Lieutenant Gill, please. Oh, John? This is Nick Charles. I'm up in Wynette's shop. Well, I found something. It's a body.
Downstairs, a man wearing an overcoat and tan fedora enters the workshop and slowly climbs the wooden stairway. Shadow hides his face. At McCauley's desk, Nick shuffles through a stack of papers. Asta stands in front of the desk. Nick looks up. Switching off the lamp, he sits in the dark as the other man enters the office. Nick turns on the flashlight and shines it in the man's face. It's Tanner.
Pick him up.
Nick switches on the lamp, then steps from behind the desk, pointing his gun at Tanner. Tanner holds his hands up.
Get her on.
Tanner turns away. Nick swats the sides of Tanner's coat and pants.
I don't make a move, but that dog will tear you to shreds.
Asta runs away and crouches under a table. Nick peers around the room for him.
All right, you can come out now. He won't hurt you. Up to your old tricks, eh, Tanner?
You're Mr. Charles, aren't you, sir?
Yes. How did you get in here?
I have a key. I used to work here, you know, till they closed up the shop.
You worked here?
Yes, Junior Wolf got me a job here as bookkeeper.
Well, that's a hot one. Bookkeeper. Where did you ever learn bookkeeping?
That last time you sent me up, I learned bookkeeping in Sing Sing. I figured it'd be an inn for me somewheres.
Somewheres where they might go out and leave the safe open.
Honest, Mr. Charles, I never touched that safe. Them bonds that was missing, Julia Wolf took them.
Trying to put it off on her, huh?
Mr. Charles, she did. That's why he got sore at her and killed her. Listen, Mr. Charles, can I take my hands down?
Okay.
Nick keeps the gun pointed at Tanner as he turns around.
I did do a bit of chiseling. I come to bring the money back and fix up the books.
Easy.
It's all right, Mr. Charles. It's just a pocketbook. I didn't want him to find out and come after me.
You can save that fella to the police.
Police!
Outside, motorcycles and a large car speed down the street and stop at the workshop. Officers and detectives pour into the building. Later, they crowd around the hole in the floor.
Come on, will you? Haven't you got that yet?
Lieutenant Guild approaches Tanner.
You wouldn't know anything about this, would you? No, sir. Take him down to Central. I'll talk to him later.
A man wearing a clip on his nose leans over the hole. Bob brings Guild a pile of clothes.
Wonder what Wynette had against this one. Quick line. Mind if I look these over, Doc?
No, go ahead. Just roll them up and threw them in.
Lucky thing for us, these weren't entirely eaten up.
Extraordinarily lucky.
No identification. Must have weighed 250 pounds if he weighed an ounce.
Here's something.
Bob finds a cane.
Rubber tip. Must have been lame.
Who wouldn't be carrying all that weight around?
Guild holds the trousers out in front of him.
I should say he stood about 5'11", wouldn't you, Doc?
About.
The doctor puts on his coat and hat. Guild examines a belt buckle.
DWR. R. Say, that case you worked on, that man who threatened to kill Winant, what was his name?
Rosebreen.
Say, could this be the man?
I never saw him. I don't think anybody ever saw him.
He threatened to kill Winant on account of some invention he'd stolen. Wasn't that it?
Yes, but we figured that was just blackmail.
Well, just the same, he wouldn't mind getting him out of the way, would he? Doc, how long would you say this body'd been here?
Can't say offhand. At least a couple of months.
Couple of months? That's just when Winant closed the shop. It's an open book. Winant killed this guy and planted him here. Julia knew about it, so he killed her. And Nunheim caught him at that, so he bumped him off. Well, boys, I guess we'll be going along. Nick, you did a swell job. You wouldn't mind paying me that $100 now, would you?
You wait till you catch Winant.
I'll get him all right.
You can bring that stuff all out in the car. You going to run him through the fluoroscope?
Yes. You mind if I come down and see it?
Oh, not at all.
I'm very interested in that body.
Oh, step right over here, Mr. Charles.
Later at the coroner's office.
There's the bullet he was killed with, see?
They study an X-ray of a rib cage. The doctor points at a white spot in one of the upper ribs. Nick leans closer.
Oh, what's that?
He points to a spot in the leg.
Oh, just an old piece of shrapnel.
Shrapnel, huh?
Well, maybe he was in the war. That would account for his cane and his limp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Headlines read, victim of Winant buried in basement and Winant hunted in third murder. At a police station, men sit in a row typing. A bulletin reads, all stations, Clyde Winant wanted for murder. Watch all stations. On a map of the United States, a web spreads out from New York and covers the entire country. On the street, detectives board a Greyhound bus. Winant's shadow appears over images of rushing police. Now, at Nick and Nora's apartment, Nick poses beside Asta for photographers.
Hey, doggy, come on. Come on, look down the floor. Come, look down at the body. Don't be... Now, Mr. Charles, this way,
get
please.
Get that out of here. Get
just
that out
a moment,
of here.
Please. Now, Mrs. Charles, this way. Just one family group, please.
Yes, it'll be lovely for the woman's page.
Have the police any idea where Winant is?
No.
Do you think they'll find him?
I know they will.
Got anything else to say about the case?
No.
Well, what about this Rosebreen?
I'm sorry, but I don't know anything about it.
Well, can't you tell us anything about the case?
Yes, it's putting me way behind in my drinking.
Come on, let's get this in.
Thanks, Nick.
What's your next step, Nick?
Thank you so much.
Right back to California. We've got to go home and rest up from this vacation.
Yeah, well, we'll see you before you go. Bye-bye.
Goodbye, boys.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Nick squirts seltzer into a drink, then ambles across the room. Nora cuts in front of him and plops into a chair.
Back to California, huh?
My soul, woman, I give you three murders and you're still not satisfied.
He sits on top of her.
Oh. Well, if you insist.
Well, I don't insist.
She pushes him off.
No, I wanted you to stay here and find Winant.
I did find him.
What do you mean?
He was down in his shop.
Nick!
That was his body that was down there.
Darling, you'd better lay off that liquor.
Well, that's a fact.
Winant's body?
Yep. Say, don't you want something to eat?
Everybody thought it was Rosebreen.
Well, that's what they think. Gil and the rest of them. They just take it for granted that it's another one of Winant's victims. Gil's out hot-footing around the town now looking for Winant. That's all that troubles him.
What makes you so sure it was Winant's body?
Well, several things. Oh, hello, Fred. We're hungry again. And lots of onions. Oh, and coffee.
You're driving me crazy. What things?
Hmm?
What things make you so sure?
Oh. Well, take the clothes, for instance. They were very carefully preserved, and the body was just as carefully destroyed. Whoever killed him was counting on one thing. The skeletons all look alike.
Well, they do, don't they?
Sure.
You're not going to get another swallow until you open
it. I happen to remember that Wynette had some shrapnel in his shin and it used to bother him. I looked for it and I found it. Gimme.
How long has he been dead?
A couple of months anyway.
Oh, then he couldn't have committed those murders.
Smart gal.
Wynette dead. Does Dorothy know?
No, nobody knows but you.
Well, I'm going to tell her.
Wait a minute, you can't do that.
Well, the poor girl's going crazy. She'd rather know he was dead than...
I can't help it. I can't tell a soul. I haven't even told Guild.
Why?
Because I want to lie low until I get the whole dope. I'm not going to go off half-cocked.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to get the murderer. And I've got an idea. You want to see me take him?
Yes.
Have you got a nice evening gown?
What's that got to do with it?
Have you got a nice evening gown?
Yes, I've got a Lulu. Why?
I'm going to give a party and invite all the suspects.
The suspects? Well, they won't come.
Oh, yes, they will. I'll get Gil to issue the invitations.
Who do you think did it?
Mimi?
Mimi?
Mimi? Jorgensen? Morelli? Tanner? What were you doing on the night of October 5th, 1902?
I was just a gleam in my father's eye.
Nick gapes at her with exaggerated shock. Later, at a table set with roses and candles, they sort out place cards.
Now, let's see. You at the head.
And you on my right.
Thank you.
I put Macaulay here where he can help me. Ought to be a lady next to him. I've got Mimi.
I don't think Mimi likes him.
Then it's Mimi.
Who goes next to me?
Suppose you leave that open. See what you draw.
All right.
And put Dorothy there.
And then Tommy?
No, I'll keep Tommy on this side. Put Gilbert next.
Nice boy. Who's next to Gilbert?
Oh, that bird that shot me.
Morelli? Well, this is going to be good.
I'll put that slick gigolo husband of Mimi's here.
Have they found him?
They found him.
Who goes next to him?
I'm leaving that open. I have a feeling that he won't come alone.
Where are you going to put Guild?
I'll put Guild down here at the end where he can keep an eye on things. That's the place for him when the trouble starts. And that little friend of Nunheim's, the frying pan juggler there.
Nick, are you sure one of these people is the killer?
Positive.
Nick, I can't stand this suspense. Which one of them did? I wish you'd tell me.
I wish you'd tell me.
Mr. Charles.
Yes, Tommy?
I'm afraid these men will interfere with your beautiful dinner.
Ella?
Brawny waiters.
How's it going, boys?
Oh, swell. Now, how's this? Yes, monsieur.
Terrible. That's all right. Your men will serve the dinner. These boys are just here in case. I think they're going to be all right.
Hello, Mrs. Charles.
Oh, hello, Mr. Gill.
Well, I see you're all set.
Do you think they'll come?
Oh, most of them are here already. The rest will be here. Don't worry about that. My men are picking them up. I'll bring them in, boys.
You know, you're a great help to a hostess. I wish I had you at all my dinner parties.
Welcome.
Let go my arm, you big lug. Say, what's the idea anyway? I ain't done nothing. Oh, it's you, huh?
We only wanted you to dine with us, sister.
Yeah, well, if you think I'm going to talk, you're crazy. Just because I was mixed up with a stool pigeon don't mean I'm one, too.
Absolutely not. Will you show the lady a chair?
On your way, sister. On
Tommy.
Your way.
Did you find Dorothy?
No, but she's here. Don't worry. Say, what you need is a drink.
I think you guys would be about tired of picking me up.
Morelli.
Step this way, kid.
What's up?
Come on.
Outrageous. Well, how do you do, Mrs. Jorgensen? How dare you send a detective after us? We just wanted to be sure you'd get here.
I told him we couldn't come. We have an engagement. We're going to the theater.
Well, Nicky's putting on a little show of his own. You must stay. Please come and have a cocktail.
Now, Morelli and Marion.
What's the gag?
You know as much about it as I do.
Have a cocktail.
No, I don't care for any.
I said have a cocktail.
I guess he wants us to have a cocktail.
They take martinis. Macaulay arrives.
Hi, Macaulay. Take off your hat and coat and join our festivities.
Why, Tanner.
What's this?
Why, they had me in jail last night, Mr. Macaulay.
Don't think a thing of it. Don't think a thing of it. Come right in, Tanner. Take off your thing.
Well, what is it, Mr. Charles?
I wanted you to be here. I've got something, I think. Come in, Tanner.
Where's Dorothy?
I don't know. I thought she was with you. She left the house this afternoon.
No, she wasn't with me. Oh, here she is now. Well, we got him. Picked him up at the Pennsylvania station. Come on in.
Hello, Nick.
Dorothy?
A party, huh?
Yes.
Celebrating father's third murder?
Well, they were trying to make a getaway.
We were doing nothing of the sort. Say, look here, you can't get away with this.
How right you are. Take this gentleman's hat and coat. Music, much music.
You know, Nick interrupted me at a very important time of my life. I was just about to take my first false step.
Say, I'm getting out of here.
No, you stay here.
If I stay, I know I'm going to take a poke at him.
Then I insist that you stay.
More arrivals.
Here's Jorgensen.
Why, Chris,
How do you do? I'm Nick Charles.
Chris, where have you been?
None of your business.
Chris, I swear it isn't my fault. I tried to keep you out of this.
Take your hands off him. Do you hear me?
Chris, what does this mean?
Sorry we were late, but we had to break down the door.
Oh, Chris, how could you?
Oh. Do come in and make yourselves comfortable. Just take the gentleman's hat and coat. Come, friends, and get it. Tommy, how would you like to be in, ma'am? Now, Mr. Jorgensen, next to Tommy, if you will.
Dorothy, I believe you and Mr. Quinn are over here.
McCauley, here, if you will. Tanner, down there. Now, Mr. Jorgensen, next to Mr. Jorgensen.
I'm Mrs. Jorgensen.
Put it over there, sister. I was Mrs. Jorgensen before you were.
No, Mimi, you're here. Oh, waiter. Will you remove the illumination, please? Ladies and gentlemen, be seated.
A waiter pushes Morelli into his chair.
Now, my friends, if I may propose a little toast. Let us eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow, we die.
Morelli flinches.
You give such charming parties, Mr. Charles.
Thank you, Mrs. Charles.
Perhaps you'll tell us now why we're here.
We're here because I have some very important news.
What is it?
Just this. Clyde Wynett did not kill Julia. He didn't kill Nunheim or anyone.
What are you talking about? It's in the papers.
You mean he didn't kill them?
There, you see? What did I tell you?
Is that what you brought us
here for? I'd like to believe that.
I knew they'd pull some monkey business like this.
If you got money, you can get by with anything.
Yeah.
Quiet. Let him have his say out.
What makes you say that, Nick?
I saw him last night.
Where, Nick? That's nothing. I saw him myself.
You see, I told you.
That's a hot one.
What'd I tell you? It's a frame-up.
Quiet. When did you see him?
Last night, he came to see me in my apartment.
Is that so? What did he say?
Oh, well, nothing much. He wanted to know how I was and how the children were.
What kind of clothes was he wearing?
A brown suit, brown shoes, a white shirt, a grayish tie with reddish brown or brownish red dots in it.
Tell him, Ed.
I saw him, too. He was wearing a green suit and a white tie.
Gilbert, what are you saying? You weren't even there.
I know, but I saw him.
Where did you see him?
I was gazing in my crystal.
Guild holds his forehead.
Waiter, will you serve the nuts? I mean, will you serve the guests the nuts?
Mimi, I'm afraid you're lying. You see, I really did see Wynett last night.
Are you kidding?
No.
Well, what's the idea of holding out on me?
You saw him yourself.
I saw him.
That was his body buried in the shop.
Nick!
Dorothy, it's terrible to have to tell you this way, but your father is dead. He's been dead for 3 months.
Oh.
Nora distracts Dorothy's companion.
Pardon me. You have something on your coat.
Oh, darling, please don't cry.
Oh, Tommy, don't.
It's terrible, I know, but isn't it better that way?
Here, I'll take care of her.
Tommy knocks out the other man.
Tommy?
Oh,
Tommy,
waiter.
Tommy, sit here.
Will you kindly remove that? What? No one eating? Ah, Mimi, I see it hasn't affected your appetite.
Because I don't believe a word of it. What's your proof?
A piece of shrapnel in his shin.
Well, if he didn't do it, who did?
The murderer is right in this room, sitting at this table. You may serve the fish.
At this table?
Eat something, you fool.
Well, aren't you going to tell us who it is?
I don't know. But I thought if we all had a little get-together, we might be able to find out. Nice food, isn't it?
Yes, it's the best dinner I ever listened to.
You say you don't know who did it, but who do you think?
Nick glances around the table. The guests stare at their plates.
Morelli.
You can't pin this one on me.
Sit down.
What am I, the fall guy?
Sit down or I'll use a sap on you.
I only want to ask you a question. Morelli, you knew Julia.
Yeah.
Was she jipping Wynett?
She don't say she is, but I figure she is.
Why do you say that?
Well, once I wanted $5,000, she gave it to me like that, cash.
Thanks. Well, 3 months ago, the night that Wynett caught you in Julia's apartment, Morelli, he discovered that Julia was cheating on him and splitting with some man. That man was Tanner.
Tanner reels.
Oh, sorry, Tanner. Don't you want some wine?
No. Really, Mr. Charles, I had nothing to do with this. I told you...
That's all right, Tanner. That's all right.
You're driving me crazy.
Oh, now, let me see. Where was I? Oh, yes. Wynett went to find the man he accused of having cheated him. That man, knowing that he was caught dead to rights, and with prison staring him in the face, took the only way out. He killed Wynett. Now, Mr. Jorgensen.
Yes?
You're not eating. Don't you care for oysters?
Why, I was just listening to what you had to say.
Good. This murderer is very clever. He studied this whole thing out very carefully. You'd understand that, wouldn't you, Gilbert?
Yes. No.
He planned the whole thing beautifully. After he killed Wynett, he wired McCauley using Wynett's name and told him to close up the shop.
Which I did.
Naturally. Then he destroyed all of Wynett's clothes with the exception of his watch chain. He figured that someday that might come in handy. Then he took Wynett's body and buried it with another man's clothes. A fat man's clothes to throw us off the track. He even put in a belt buckle with an R on it, hoping that we would think it was Rose Breen, an old enemy of Wynant's who had disappeared years ago. Oh, Morelli, would you mind holding your knife some other way? You're worrying Gilbert.
Morelli puts down his table knife.
That knife's missing. I'll look for it and you're back.
Well, after our hero had killed Wynant, he had a brilliant idea. He realized that he and Julia could still collect money. Wynett was supposed to be out of town. No one knew where. So our hero wrote letters to McCauley, signing Wynett's name so that McCauley would continue to send the money to Julia. He even telephoned McCauley. You remember that first day you came to see me? He telephoned that he was in town?
Yes, he called while I was out.
Yeah, wasn't he slick about that? Well, that same afternoon, Julia telephoned him. She said that you were coming, Mimi.
I wanted to ask about Mr. Wynett.
Exactly. Well, our hero got terrified. He was afraid that Julia would break down and tell you that he had murdered Wynant. So he went to Julia, and he killed her. And he left Wynant's watch chain in her hand.
Is this true?
I don't know.
Well, then why are you saying it?
It's the only way it makes sense.
Well, I hope you're well.
His plan was working beautifully. Everybody believed that Wynant was in town and that he had done it. There was just one hitch. A bird named Nunheim, your friend. Nunheim had gone to call on her. He heard the shots. He saw the murderer leave. He knew who did it.
Well, if he knew, he didn't tell me. You can't drag me into this.
Our hero had paid Nunheim once to keep his mouth shut. And when Nunheim threatened him again, he bumped him off. Oh, he was very clever. Everybody, even our astute friend Gil, thought that Wynant was alive and that he was the murderer.
Now, you can skip that.
But our hero had just one weak link in his chain. The telegrams and phone calls were all very well, but no one had actually seen Wynant. So our hero picked on poor Mimi here to strengthen his case. Mimi is the only one at this table who can tell us who the real murderer is. Mimi, who was it who told you to say you saw Wynant?
Nobody told me I did see him.
Why didn't you let my mother alone? Let her alone.
What were you paid to stick to that story?
It isn't a story. It's true. I did see him. He isn't dead.
You're lying, Mimi. Of course, you'd do anything for money. You're getting a very good price for saying that you saw Wynant, and you figure that you won't get anything if he's dead.
I'm not going to stay here to be insulted.
Sit down, Mimi. McCauley, you drew up Wynant's will. Mimi was cut off, wasn't she, if she remarried?
I have no right to answer that.
How about it, Tanner? Isn't that true?
Yes.
But you shouldn't let that keep you from telling the truth, Mimi. Mrs. Jorgensen.
Yes?
Were you ever divorced from Chris Jorgensen?
No.
So you see, Mimi, under the law, you've never remarried. You're still one of the heirs. So what are you holding out for? A few crummy dollars that man gave you when you can get the whole estate? And Mimi, remember the other two who were mixed in with them on this? Julia and Nunheim. When he thought they might spill something, he bumped them off. You ought to know very well that he's not going to take any chances on you. What do you want to do, be next on his list?
Why, you dirty little...
McCauley draws a gun. Nick punches him.
Well, there's your murderer. McCauley.
McCauley?
Sure. What do you want me to do? Wrap him up in cellophane?
Come on, you lost. Get in there. What's the matter with you?
McCauley! I can't believe it.
Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle.
But, Nicky, he might have killed you.
So what's the matter? You sorry he didn't?
Oh, I'm glad you're not a detective.
Later on a train with Tommy and Dorothy.
On a hip and a carload.
Well, here's to you two.
And to you two, too. The rat. He can't top us.
No. Toot-toot!
Yes, shall I keep these fries for you?
Yes.
Why don't you like
A waiter takes Dorothy's wedding flowers.
My gracious. It's 1 o'clock.
Hmm? It's what?
It's 1 o'clock.
Oh, baby, it's 11 o'clock.
Yeah. Hmm? Well, it is not. It's 1 o'clock. I set my watch ahead.
Yeah, you set your watch ahead at 12 o'clock.
didn't you?
When I look.
Yes.
What? Like, you're in New York, for instance. Sunrise
Nick.
In New York.
San Francisco is 3,000 miles west of New
you're
York.
Wrong.
Obviously, the sun does
Nick.
Not get to San Francisco until 3 hours
Nick.
After it's been in New York.
That means. Nick.
Yes, baby.
Does that mean that it's bedtime?
Well, that's a thought.
Nick drains his champagne.
Come on, sugar. Leave us do it.
Asa? You ready?
Don't
call
me.
Sorry.
And flights of angels sing thee to thy rest.
Same to you, Nick. Good night. Oh, Nora, I can never thank you enough for all you've done. Oh, don't be sorry. Good night. Good night. Good night.
Dorothy locks the door, then wraps her arm around Tommy's neck.
Gosh, darling, I thought they'd never leave.
In another room.
Oh, I thought you'd never leave.
Baby, the sun rises in the east, it sets in the west. If it's 12 o'clock in New York,
Nicky,
automatically it's...
Nicky, put Asta in here with me tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Nick tosses Asta onto the top bunk, then leans over Nora, planting a kiss on her lips. Asta puts his head down and covers his eyes with his paw. As the train speeds away, the lights in Nick and Nora's compartment go out. Words appear. The end. A Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer picture.